and I'll give Byron's talk on surface irrigation and its effect on degradation of water quality in streams. In the area that where we work, we have the Malheur and the Owyhee rivers that enter the Snake River along the border of Oregon and Idaho. And the area is typically very dry, about 10 inches of precipitation. It sustains very intensive horticulture and other crop production on low elevation, flat terrain, which was developed with surface irrigation with antiquated systems over 100 years ago. The region is naturally sagebrush steppe with semi-arid, has mostly winter precipitation in the form of rain and snow. And then water collects in the uplands, or snow collects in the uplands, runs off and goes to reservoirs. And the water captured in reservoirs is delivered via canals to the lower land, and then that the water that's in that land is mostly all fur irrigation, surface flood irrigation. This is a picture right over the top of Oregon State University's experiment station at this location. There's a irrigation canal, main irrigation canal running here. There's a bigger one way up on the top of the hill, small distribution canal here. And the water goes from one canal to another over the whole area. Then water is delivered by ditches and into furrows. You can see an onion crop here being furrow irrigated. Lots of irrigation-induced erosion. And the negative environmental impacts of the surface irrigation, especially on steep slopes, you have nitrate leaching because you have net movement downward. You have irrigation-induced erosion, loss of sediment, and especially phosphorus, and inefficient water use. You also pick up bacteria, and there's Malheur County is the number one onion county in the United States and is one of the top 10 or 12 beef production counties in the United States. You can see an obvious contradiction with lots of water use and movement of poop. Here again is a picture of the aerial picture of the experiment station. The main canal is further up on the hills off to the upper left, and then there's called the Shoestring Canal that you can see winding across, and the old Owyhee ditch runs across the bottom. So as the irrigation, as the water is delivered in one ditch from the reservoir, then the runoff from other fields is caught in the next distribution ditch. So the distribution ditches are served with water, but they also capture the water from the pieces of land that are above them. And that leads to quite a bit of problems with nitrate, both total and orthophosphate, total solids, and E. coli, other bacteria in the water system. Over the last, and you can see the negative consequences. This is a lower stretch along the Malheur River, and you see lots of sediment in the river. The near where the this is river mile on the x-axis, the vertical axis you have sediment in pounds per day and phosphorus in pounds per day on the right vertical axis. So if you look at the sediment, you see that farther up the river, you don't have quite so much sediment load, but then as you get down towards the bottom and a few miles from the Snake River, the Malheur River is delivering lots of sediment every day, and both phosphorus and the total phosphorus and orthophosphate are quite high. And if the river were to meet the goals of the total daily maximum load established by DEQ, it'd have to reduce these numbers by about 85%, which is very difficult to do without dewatering the river. There's been a whole series of actions over the last 25 years. There's been monitoring for almost 50 years. Last 25 years, intensive irrigation research, education, cooperative groups have formed and have taken action, developed projects, and made grants. And the monitoring has been going on by different groups at different times for the last 50 years. So there's a rich number of sites that have been monitored, and most of these sites are over outside of compliance of E. coli standards. The research has examined all sorts of different aspects of nutrition and water management, soil moisture monitoring, and started using automated drip irrigated systems in 95, a year before the first patents were written. So if you have a system that you're working on, you're worried about infringing on someone's patent, I can help you with public available results. There's been a great deal of proven practices demonstrated to growers and fieldmen through workshops and field days. A lot of it really depends on people and their thoughts and plans and actions. The wide number of cooperating groups. So let's look at briefly the kinds of solutions that are being put in place. We have piping of canals and ditches, and introduction of sprinkler irrigation, introduction of drip irrigation, use of polyacrylamide and straw mulch, reduced tillage and strip tillage, irrigation scheduling, and sedimentation ponds. Now, this doesn't really look like piping, but this is one of the upper canals. So rather than bringing the water from one canal to another, capture the water up at the higher canals where there's potential energy in the water, and then make a piping system. This system here is automated. They had other pipe intakes before, but these systems, they have a rotating screen so that the water and junk that's in the main canal doesn't go down the pipeline. Then they have large pipes, and those large pipes feed down into smaller pipes. And Jerry Erstrom, one of the growers, has led that working group of the neighbors, and he got the World Irrigation and Drainage Prize a couple of years ago. A number of places down this valley, these systems have been put in, and then pipes from the large pipe, the smaller pipes are delivered to the field, and then practically all of the fields can have sprinkler irrigation without any supplemental pumping. Only the fields really close to the upper canal, you have to have some supplemental pumping to have adequate pressure for a sprinkler irrigation system. Another major transformation that's going on is switching to drip irrigation, and you can see the concrete ditch running alongside the field, which is not being used, and then drip irrigation of onions, and all the practices and techniques being advocated at various tours. Another very large application has been the use of polyacrylamide, which tends to hold soil in place and keep it from moving, and lots of soil moisture monitoring. Almost all the growers that have drip irrigation of onions are using soil moisture monitoring and irrigating by soil water tension. With the areas that have not been transformed to sprinkler or drip, there's a need to capture the water before it runs off the farm. So there's over 50 growers have installed sedimentation ponds and pump the water from the bottom end of their farm back up onto the fields. So if they have a series of three or four fertilized fields, the bottom fertilized field capture the water and then pump it back up at least up to the top of the lowest fields. So the irrigation systems are being transformed. So in conclusion, we have a research base of practical applications, ongoing monitoring, planning, substantial group cooperation, but only about 25% of the area has been transformed, and many additional projects and cost share grants are needed in the county. So thank you very much.